Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go. Down to the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30. Water in the end zone. Caught. Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So glad you could join us. Alongside Jeff Eagles, I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes as we break down all that is happening with respect to the New York Giants. Two ways for you to interact with us on the program. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. You could also chime in via Twitter using hashtag GiantsChat as we look ahead to the Redskins game coming your way on Sunday, the second meeting between both of these teams as they met back in week four in Washington and the Giants put together a 45-14 victory. Jeff, before we get to the ins and outs of the contest, let's go over the injury report. There's a number of injuries on both sides, and this is what the injury report looked like on Thursday. Obviously, they will be practicing again today, and they will issue the official injury report a little bit later today. But for the Giants, this is what took place on Thursday. James Brewer and Jaquan Williams are still out with concussions. Eli Manning is listed as limited, but let's face it, there's no concern there. And Mark Herzlick and Jameel McClain both had a full practice after McClain sat out with the knee injury and Herzlick still recovering from the concussion. So compared to previous weeks, Jeff, they're getting closer and closer, at least back to full health for the guys that are
well,
healthy.
Well, we got by with 1 week of nobody going on injured reserve. So, things are looking up.
It's an accomplishment.
And certainly I think that, you know, with these guys now one more week playing together and coming off a win, and I will tell you this, that, you know, winning cures a lot of stuff, guys, and especially in the locker room, Lance. When you come in after a win that Sunday, and then it kind of just, you know, you kind of, this one, I'm sure that they were set, you know, savoring a little bit longer because it's taken so long for them to get one. But, you know, it just changes a lot of things. It changes the atmosphere in the locker room. Guys are, you know, you're not as sore coming off a game, and now you're looking forward to going into and beating a division rival who, quite frankly, this team, the Redskins, is you think the Giants got it bad. I mean, these guys are pretty dysfunctional at best, and I think that the Giants have a good chance to come in here this weekend. But as far as health, that's a good sign, and their injury report is showing it to you. You know, Jaquan Williams, some of those concussions, they can linger.
Yeah.
And they certainly, for people that don't know, there's a protocol that you have to go through, and if you're not passing it, you're not playing it. It's just the way it is these days.
With the new NFL protocol, they're not taking any chances, as you just alluded to. You mentioned the Redskins. They're struggling as well, 3-10. They've lost five in a row, issues on offense and defense. And just like the Giants, Jeff, they've also been struck by the injury bug.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you kind of look down the roster, and even from when, you know, the Giants played them so earlier in the season, and they have lost a lot of people. D'Angelo Hall was one of the guys, and that takes its toll on it. But, you know, I think from an offensive standpoint, when you have problems at the quarterback position, I don't care what team you're at, you're going to have problems, and they certainly have had their share of it. Now we're hearing that Colt McCoy is probably going to get the start against the Giants. We didn't know that earlier in the week, but, you know, that changes a lot of things for the defense as preparation. You got to, you know, because if Colt McCoy gets his neck tweaked again, then here comes RG3. So it's really like having two game plans that you have to put together for these quarterbacks.
And Perry Field talked about that yesterday when he spoke to the media, and it was funny. They interviewed Ryan Nassib in the locker room, and he runs the scout team,
Jeff. So he's a dual guy?
Exactly. And they were saying, well, which quarterback are you modeling this week? He's like, well, to be honest with you, I had to ask the coaching staff.
Yeah, who do you want me to be today? Yeah, yeah.
One day it's RG3, the next day it's Colt McCoy, and so forth. I mean, the good thing is at least both quarterbacks are mobile to a certain degree, Jeff.
Sure.
So you can at least play to those strengths.
And I think you have enough film and enough body of work from both quarterbacks to be able to develop a game plan. You know, is it like the first time they played the Redskins, you had Kirk Cousins, and, you know, they had a little bit to go from him because of his body work before that, but, you know, Colt McCoy is the kind of a guy where how many games has he played this year now? Five or six?
This will be his fifth start.
This will be his fifth start. So, you know, there is some things to look at, and of course, RG3. We've got plenty to look at here, but it is tough. And for a guy like Ryan Nassib, he's got to be kind of excited to be able to. That's the part that, you know, the scout team guy, whether you're a quarterback or whatever, every week changes for you. I mean, one day you're playing, if you're a receiver, you're playing DeSean Jackson. One day you're Megatron. You know, it's like it always changes. And you kind of sometimes wonder, like, how these guys that run scout team ever get – to be involved in their own offense or defense. And it's tough, and that's why it's so important to really understand what you're doing in the classroom.
But I guess on the flip side is it really helps you develop as a player because you're digesting so many different offenses and defenses.
You can understand a little bit of how why this doesn't work or why this is, you know, that they're attacking this. And then exactly. So you can learn a lot from the opposing team.
And RG3's been running the scout team for the Redskins since he's been now backing up Colt McCoy. So,
which
it's
is
really
pretty insane in itself, right? When you say RG3 is running the scout team, when I mean 2 years ago this guy was just, you know, going to be all that, and now there's some serious trouble going on down there in Washington. But as Giants fans, we don't care. Just come up here at the MetLife 1 o'clock on Sunday and the Giants are going to get their second win in a row, and that's what they want.
The Giants are certainly not losing sleep over the issues that the Washington Redskins have. Speaking of the Redskins injury report, let's talk to you a little bit about what they're dealing with, at least entering this game. And Jeff mentioned D'Angelo Hall. They already lost him for the season. That was earlier in the year. They also lost Brian Arakpo in the meantime. He suffered a torn pectoral muscle, and that's a significant loss.
Well, I think that if you want to kind of compare apples to apples, that would be a lot like losing John Beeson. I mean, he was their kind of guy, their staple on that defense. However, they got a couple other guys that can play too, and they're still playing.
Absolutely.
Kerrigan,
Ryan Kerrigan, 11 and a half sacks. Yeah. We don't want to butcher too many names on this program, but there are a number of linebackers that are in the mix. And one guy in particular, Keenan Robinson, who actually leads the team in tackles, he has not practiced the last few games with a knee injury. They also have not had Brandon Merriweather, their top safety, as well as Jason Hatcher, the former defensive end.
Well, those three right there are some pretty significant names. And just to see here, it says did not participate in practice. Yeah. That was yesterday.
Correct.
And so, you know, things can change today. But however, you know, in the NFL, Friday is a non-padded practice. It's usually helmets and shoulder pads or even shells. And so there's no contact going in there. So it just kind of shows you that those guys are beat up. And I will tell you that if those guys do not play, that's going to do a lot of things for the Giants. It really will.
And the Redskins have not been an opportunistic defense throughout the course of the season. And one of the ways to make up for the injury bug, Jeff, is, okay, well, we'll force turnovers. We'll take away the football, which the Giants have done to a certain degree. The Redskins, the secondary, just has 5 interceptions and 15 takeaways. That's bottom 5 in the NFL.
Well, you know, in the NFL, those things can change. You look at the Giants, what they did up until they played the Titans last week, they were not getting turnover or takeaways either, and it can change in a heartbeat. It just goes to show you that, you know, you got to protect Eli and let Eli get the job done and protect the football, because those things can change. And we do know that one of the recipes for disaster for the Giants is when they turn the ball over and they don't get turnovers, they lose games. So, yes, that bodes well for the Giants because the Redskins don't get a lot of turnovers, but caution to the wind that it could turn around at any moment.
And turnovers played a huge role in the first match.
No question.
The Redskins turned the ball over 6 times. The Giants just once. That wasn't a costly one. But the fact that they were able to change field position, at least favorably for the Giants, I mean, think about the strains that it would have put on the offense if they had to put together 80, 90-yard drives every 5 minutes. They didn't have to do that.
Well, for any team, of that matter, you know. And that's I think we talked a little bit about this on Tuesday, is that when you get those turnovers, it all depends on where they're coming, at what time of the game, and where they are on the field. And like Lance just said, you know, if they're having to go 80 and 90 yards, that game probably isn't the same score. However, you know, the Giants, they took advantage of those, and that's what they're going to have to do this week. And Colt McCoy, you know, we're not talking about, you know, Peyton Manning here. This guy is not the greatest quarterback, and so the Giants got to put pressure on him. And when you have a neck injury, I got to think that's going to be tough to play. I mean, when you're a quarterback, you're moving your head and you're looking downfield. So I think that RG3 and Colt McCoy are probably splitting a lot of reps this week, because you never know what's going to happen.
Well, and I would also be concerned considering the pass protection issues, Jeff, that the Redskins' offensive line has provided.
And what the Giants defense has done in the last 2 weeks would cause for concern if you're that offensive line for the Redskins, no doubt.
And that's a big storyline to watch, Jeff, because the Giants, as you just touched on, 15 sacks combined in the last 2 games. The Redskins have surrendered 46 sacks this season between all 3 quarterbacks. That is the second most in the NFL. And then during this 5-game skid, the Redskins have surrendered at least 5 sacks in each of those games. So the Giants right now are at the pinnacle of their pass rush, and the Redskins' offensive line is at the lowest point in terms of their protection.
Matchup number one. There we go. Okay, so we're going to break it down for you guys. Where are we going to go first? Right there is where we're going to go. So, and you know, and then you look at offensively, we talk about Colt McCoy. Certainly Alfred Morris has done well against the Giants. I mean, even in that first game, they did a lot of check down passes to him coming out of the backfield.
And Roy Helu, too.
And I know he's a little banged up. I don't know if he's going to be playing. I don't think he'll probably play this week,
right?
He's
got a toe injury. He's doubtful.
That's probably going to be tough. But Alfred Morris, you know, he's had a good season. He didn't have a great game last week, but that was against St. Louis, who's got a pretty good defense. And I think that really you got to keep your eye on Alfred Morris, because if Colt McCoy is going to get through the game, he's certainly not going to try to win the game through the air. They're going to hand the ball off to Morris.
And that's one of the things that Jay Gruden spoke to the media about this week, the importance of them establishing the run, because as you mentioned, Jeff, they've struggled to run the ball, not just in the last few games. Overall, they're only 22nd in the NFL this year.
And the Giants' run defense isn't the greatest, so I think, you know, from a perspective – From speaking from the Redskins, that's probably a matchup they're going to try to go against and really keep the ball out of Colt McCoy's hands and give it to Alfred Morris.
Balance, that's been the biggest issue for the Redskins throughout the course of the season. They'd certainly like to get back to that. Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now. Enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter Blue for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com. We're going to open up the phone lines at 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's open up the lines. We start with Will in the Bronx. Will, what's happening?
Hi, Will.
How you doing, Jeff and Matt?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Will. What's on your mind?
Okay, well, you know, I've just been a disgruntled fan. And first off, I would like to check Charlie, because Charlie said earlier this year that the Giants season would go something like this, so he hit it spot on. So just shouting you out there, Charlie.
Well, there's nothing more we enjoy on this program, Will, than patting Charlie on the back, so we certainly appreciate you throwing out some kudos his way.
Yeah, way to go, Charlie. Way to jinx
it
all.
He kind of hit it on head. But I wanted to know, you know, with the injury situation that happened across the season with the team, if we was to cut half of those injuries or half the players that were injured and cut the injury time in half, how do you see this season playing out? Do you think it still kind of would have unfolded the way it did, or we kind of would have traversed the same trail that we're on now?
Well, I think when you look at the – let's start with the starters, okay, and if we can maybe get some of those starters that went on IR to come back at halfway, as you said. I mean, you look at a guy like Prince Amukamara, okay? I mean, that's a big, big blow to that defense. John Beeson, I think, he a guy like that. You know, Jeff Schwartz was supposed to be a starter in this team coming out of free agency and coming here. So, and here's the other thing, too, is that there has been so many games this season that when you look back at the Giants and how they have played and where they could have won a lot more games. And it's very, you know, we've talked about this, three or four or maybe even five games, they had a chance to win. And with injuries, even with the injuries that they've had, you get some of these guys like Prince back and Beeson back, Victor Cruz. I think it makes a huge difference. I really do. And maybe some of those games that they lost that they shouldn't have, maybe some of those guys would have helped to be able to close out those games.
And appreciate – Will, you got one more thing?
Do you feel that at some point after losing so many games that kind of gets into the psyche of the players and they kind of give up somewhat, or that lends to more inconsistent play?
Well, I don't think that anybody gives up. What I think happens is that there's a mentality that kind of gets kind of scrambled up in your brain where you sometimes you just can't believe that you can finish and win, because it's just over and over and over until you get that winning atmosphere back. That's confidence is what it is. So, you know, just like whatever you may be doing, Will, at any time or whatever, if you're doing something well, you have confidence that you can continue to do it. When you stop doing that and you're not doing it as well, there's a little bit of something lacking in your brain that you can't do it anymore. And I think that's what happens. And like I said earlier in the show when we first started, that winning cures a lot of that. And I think that that builds a little bit of confidence with some of the guys now with the coming off the win going into this week's game.
And Will, appreciate the phone
Thanks,
call.
Will.
Thanks so much for weighing in. And when you don't have to deal with injuries, Jeff, you know, it allows for better continuity too. And there's periods of time where, you know, the injury bug has killed momentum or impacted momentum. For example, Rashad Jennings has a very strong start to the season. He then gets pulled out of the lineup because of the injury bug. And, you know, you could have had Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham on the field at the same time. So, you know, it is very interesting to look back at what Will just pointed out and say, if guys don't get hurt, you know, how does that at least impact the continuity of this team?
Well, to give you an example of how it can impact the continuity of the team, let's just look at Kennard. Okay, he coming out of training camp, we knew he was going to be a good player. Everybody was talking about him, and he was a rookie. They started to input him in a little bit of special teams, a lot of bit of special teams. Then he got a little bit of playing time when John was getting beat up. Then he gets hurt. The defense can't do a lot of the things that they wanted to do with him in there. Now he's healthy. Look how he's playing and how the defense has gone. So there's an example how a guy coming back from injury can help a team win. The guy gets Defensive Player of the Week for the NFC. So going back to maybe if you got three or four of those guys who were injured, the continuity does improve, like you were saying.
And it's interesting that you brought that up, Jeff, because Perry Fuel, when he spoke to the media yesterday, everybody was asking him, you know, why has all of a sudden something clicked for Devon Kennard? Why has he gotten four sacks in the last two games? Why has the pass rush been so effective? And one of the things he said was, well, don't forget, he had the hamstring injury earlier this year.
Well, listen, if anybody has ever had a hamstring injury, it's not good. I mean, you can't go from A to B like you normally do, and so you can't expect somebody to do that. And what's happened is that week by week you get a little bit better. They start putting a little bit more in, and all of a sudden there's that one time where all of a sudden, maybe during practice, as a coach you're looking it out in the field going, you know what? I think the kid's back. I think we can start to do a little bit more, and then they do it. And then against the Jacksonville game, they saw a little bit more. I mean, look how he played in that game. And then the Titans game, they just – so now that's how it works. And when you're injured, everybody's injured. But if you've got a hamstring, it just takes a little bit longer. And every person's different the way that they react to injuries.
And you got to get your legs back underneath you so that you can get that athleticism.
Especially if you're a runner and you need enforced position. When you are a linebacker, you are using your legs not only to hit but to absorb hits and move. And if you got a hamstring problem, you're not going to be able to do a lot of that.
Before we get back to more of your phone calls, just want to piggyback off of Will's comments about the injury bug. If you look at this season as a whole, and every team deals with injuries, but what was so unique, Jeff, about the Giants situation is you can make the argument, I mean, they have lost a starter or a game changer at literally every position.
Yeah. Yeah.
You look at wide receiver, they lost Victor Cruz. Running back, they lost Rashad Jennings during a noticeable period of time.
And look what happened.
So those were two significant losses on offense. And let's not forget the offensive line.
Sure.
You mentioned Jeff Schwartz. They started to build continuity during the preseason, then unfortunately he gets hurt in that Jets game.
Yeah.
And now you have to change the offensive line again. So, you know, that put them in a situation where, okay, now we've got to look at the depth chart and move things around. Then you flip sides on defense. You lost Prince Amukamara, one of your top corners. You lost John Beeson, your top linebacker, your captain, the guy who helped set the tone of the plays and so forth. So, you know, you point to every position.
Jenkins
and it's like,
goes
wow,
out for three
Jenkins
or four games.
Missed a period of time. Correct.
Yeah.
A number of areas. It wasn't as if you said, hey, just the running backs dealt with the injury bug. This was across the board, unlike any other period of time.
And you think about a guy like McBride, okay, who came on at the end of the last year and then got into that starting lineup, and then Thurman. Okay, we could just keep going on. As we sit here and talk, we keep thinking of more, you know?
Right.
It's like, and then you got DRC who was, you know, he was hurt, but he was trying to play through it and, you know, missed a game here and there, but really not 100%. So, you know, what are we talking about here? We're talking about a team that can rebound from these injuries next season. I know it's a long ways away and there's a lot that's going on with the organization and the team and, you know, that everybody calls about and this and that. But when you really look at it about how some of these games could have been won, all the injuries that went into it this year, it could have been a completely different story if they had just won some of those close games, and we'd be sitting here, wouldn't even be talking about any of this stuff. We'd be talking about maybe sitting here at 7-7 and 6 and possibly maybe having a chance for a wild card somewhere.
Another thing that Perryfield pointed out, because I'm sure a lot of people looking at the Titans' performance, the Jaguars' performance, even a number of these close games, saying, you know, what has all of a sudden changed? Well, sometimes when you bring in new faces, Jeff, who are not familiar with the scheme, as Perryfield mentioned, you know, it takes a few weeks till they get familiar and they understand the principles. So now we're seeing guys like Mike Harris in that slot corner. He's more comfortable. Shockey Brown comes over. He's more comfortable. You know, you can't expect guys to come in all of a sudden and day one understand what's going on immediately.
It would just be like, you know, if you and I were working for a company and then all of a sudden next week we go to a different company, same concept of what we're doing. However, the completely different atmosphere. You have a new boss, you have a new coach, I mean, you have new employees around you, you got a new building, you have new routines. The team that you just came from or the organization may have did it this way, they might have been practicing at 1 o'clock and this team practices at 10. Your routines get all messed up, not to mention the new system that you're in. So when you see guys like Shockey Brown and Harris and all these guys that are just coming over, and even the guys off of a practice squad that come, it is a tough transition, and to even think that they're going to make some sort of an impact in a game, you got to be crazy. You're just hoping that they can get through a game and not make a lot of mistakes, and that's kind of what Perryfield is kind of alluding to.
Now, you played a unique position, but you've been around the NFL. Let me ask
Seen
you
a lot
to,
of it.
To at least put things in perspective. And playing punter a little bit different than maybe some of the other positions, but you've got to work with the long snapper. You have to work with the different holders. Was there an adjustment period, Jeff, as you moved from team to team?
Oh, there's no question. And I think that a lot of times when I was going and facing free agency, whether I stayed with the team I was with or I was going to move, the number one thing I always had to think about was, you know, was number one, my family. You know, how are they going to get, you know, uprooted and this and that? But your routines. And even though when I went, I found out that it changes. And you got to find, you know, for instance, like myself, I did a lot of work off the field. I had a massage therapist. I had a stretching guy. I had a chiropractor. I had all these people that I worked with off the field. Now, when I go to a new team, I got to
find
all
those
new
things.
People.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times when you're sitting there going, well, this team's going to give me, you know, the X amount and this – sometimes you got to say to yourself, you know, is it worth it? Because really, I'm going to have to take a step back and trying to develop new things and learning the new systems and learning, you know, for me, a system is nothing. But I'll give you an example. I remember one year I went from the Cardinals, who had a right-handed snapper.
There you go.
Who was a long snapper. And I went to the Seahawks, and we got a lefty. So I know it sounds kind of – doesn't sound like much, but the ball is moving in the direction that you're always used to, mostly guys having right-handed snappers. The ball is moving this way. Well, left-handed, it's moving the opposite way. And it's just – it's a little bit different. It's, I guess it would be like if you were a right-handed batter, you move over to the left side. It's just different. So there is a lot of change that you have to look at. There's a lot of variables, external variables that you have to understand. But, you know, in free agency, it's all about the money.
Absolutely.
And I think that sometimes when you're juggling two and they're really, really close, you'd rather just stay with the team that you're there if they want you back, you know.
Which you hope so. You hope you did enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but you were mentioning, you know, it seems maybe subtle to the average listener and average viewer, but
it's not.
NFL is all about routine.
It's all – guys are creatures of habit in the National Football League. I mean, for the most part, every team is the same as far as, you know, Sunday to Sunday. I mean, you get Mondays this, Tuesdays that, Wednesday, Thursday, your prep days, Friday, blah, blah, blah. However – everybody's different. You know, guys do a lot more off the field and guys do this, and the training staff might be better here, and the weightlifting people that's another thing, the weight room. I remember going from the Seattle Seahawks weight room when I came here in 2003, the Seahawks facility was beautiful, and I come to the Giants and we go into the old Giants stadium and I look at their weight room and it was like, wow, this thing is really small.
The dumbbell.
Yeah, it was
the
unbelievable.
Right corner,
yeah.
Used the left corner.
I mean, the weight room was like almost the size of this right here. And so, you know, not that I spent a lot of time in a weight room, but it, you know, for guys that it really matters, that could be a difference.
For you, it wasn't necessarily the icing on the cake.
No, I just needed a bench press that it held 450 pounds and I was okay, you know?
There you go.
Yeah, right.
201.
Maybe 45 pounds.
939-4513. Well, it's better than my 15-pound weights.
Yeah, that's right.
Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Moving along, let's head back to the lines. Derek is in the ATL. Derek, what's happening?
Hi, Derek. Hey, good morning, Lance and Jeff.
What's up?
What's up, Derek?
I know we had a lot of injuries, but, you know, the team could be worse off like maybe like the Falcons, the Panthers, the Vikings, who basically have no people on IR and are terrible. So, yeah, well, I mean, you know, I'd rather be in a position where
you talk about like the personnel department. How about that? The guys that are not on IR. I mean, that's a bigger problem, right?
Yeah. So
sorry to interrupt.
But what I was going to ask is, if you project we be coming back healthy on the offensive line, I think that we probably move Pugh inside to guard and maybe look for a right tackle in the draft. I was wondering, do you pick a right tackle first round in the draft? And if you don't, what do you see as the number one priority in the draft to get on this team?
Well, I think there's been some talk amongst people, you know, outside the organization, I'm sure, as far as like, you know, what the offensive line next year could look like and moving guys around and this and that. In my opinion, you don't draft a right tackle in the number one position, because if you're going to draft a tackle, it's got to be your left tackle. Because you're going to have to pay a lot of money. And so I think that there's some good value in linemen in the second, third round that you could find. But I certainly think that there's probably going to have to be some addition by subtraction, you know, whatever you want to call it, next year for that, you know, that group. However, the guys that I keep saying, the guys that are here, you look at Justin Pugh, you look at Beatty, definitely guys that can play in this league. And then you look at a guy like Schwartz who's going to come back. And then you got Richmond Richburg who's going to, you know, is a young guy up and coming. And, you know, those are some good players that you're talking about that just have to play better. And if you can get those guys to play better and maybe have another guy come in or a couple guys come in and you do what you just said, move Pugh in to the right guard and get a right tackle, I don't know. But I don't think they're a long ways away. I just think that they need to play better.
I agree. But what would you think then would be the number one priority?
I think that, and somebody asked us about this on Tuesday, I'll stick with the same comment. I think you have to start inside. I think both sides of the ball, I think you have to get better. I think you have to get bigger, stronger, and more physical on both sides of the ball, defensively and offensive lines.
So a defensive lineman?
Well, the Giants like defensive linemen. They have a history of drafting guys like that.
They like to rotate guys, as we know.
Yep.
All right, Derek.
All right, guys. That's all I wanted to.
You got it.
Have a good one, Derek.
Appreciate the call. Thanks so much for weighing in. Let's head back to the phone lines. Darren is in Connecticut. Darren, what's happening?
Hey, Darren. Or
hey,
Dean.
It's Dean, man.
Dean?
It's all
oh,
good.
Dean. Okay. What's happening, Dean?
Hey, I got two quick.
I got
questions.
The wrong name
I'll
up
take
here.
It off the air. First of all, Walter Thurman signed a 1-year deal last offseason, correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah. It was a 1-year deal.
All right. All right, so now with the torn pectoral, which is kind of a tough injury, what are the odds that the Giants front office says, let's give you another 1-year deal? So it's kind of like a prove it, show me and prove it kind of deal, and bring them back. And then the second question is, are JPP and Prince both going to be free agents in the offseason?
Is who?
Prince, they picked up an option, so yep. He still is on the books. JPP is due to be a free agent. So that should answer your second question. Dean, in terms of your first question, you know, bringing back Walter Thurman, look at Stevie Brown. Stevie Brown was coming off a serious knee injury, and then they brought him back on a 1-year deal. So if you look for a track record, I think the Giants have done that before. But it depends on what the player wants to do, too. Remember, the team can have a desire to bring back the player, but if the player wants a long-term deal or wants to go back home or so forth, you know, that's their option too. But I think that the Giants have brought back players previously who have dealt with the injury bug.
Because their doctors know them, and also the player feels more comfortable with the organization that he just rehabbed with. And I think that, you know, when you go somewhere else, there's always going to be that notion of, well, are you okay, you know, this and that. So you may not get more money. And unfortunately, in the NFL, when you have an injury and you're going into a contract year, it sucks because you got hurt and it cost you money in the long run. So you're better off staying with the team that you got hurt with because your doctors know you, the trainers know you, and the organization knows how hard you've been working to get back to the level that they thought that you were before you got hurt.
Absolutely. And finally, if based on statistics alone, no injury prone or anything like that, moving forward, would you rather start an organization building around JBP or Prince and Mukamara? Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Dean, appreciate the call. Thanks.
Well, I think aside from the names per se, I think that you build a defense around a pass rusher than a corner, in my opinion. I think they can wreak havoc more than a cornerback can. Because listen, if you build a guy like Prince is not going to be like a guy like Darrell Revis, who you're going to give him shutdown corner money, you know what I'm saying? So when you bring their names into it, I personally would rather build defense around a powerful defensive end than a cornerback. That's just me. You know, what do I know?
Well, in an ideal world, you'd like one of each.
Of course you would.
You do need a corner, and you do need a guy that could get to the quarterback.
Oh, and a good – yeah, that would be good. Because then you're rushing the passer, and you're getting heat on the quarterback, and you got a guy you don't have to worry about, and then you just take away that part of the field, and you're okay. So, and maybe Prince can be that guy next year. He certainly was playing like he could be a Pro Bowler this year until he got hurt. I think by far he was their best player in the secondary this year, and he's just shown improvement every single year. It was just very unfortunate with the injury that he got.
And that really hits it right on the nose, Jeff, because you look at the three starting corners coming into the season, DRC, Prince, Walter Thurman. Thurman out for the season, Prince out for the season, and DRC never really 100%.
Yeah, and he really has not been able to play at at the level that the team wanted him to play. And when you think about those three players there that you just mentioned, those three guys healthy, along with a healthy Victor Cruz, Odell Beckham, and Reuben Randall, man, a lot of things could be different.
Absolutely. 201-939-4513, the telephone number, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Back to the lines. Keith is in Kentucky. Keith, what's happening?
What's up, Keith?
Hey, how y'all doing, fellas?
Doing well, Keith. What you got?
Okay. I'm just going to start off saying the silver lining of this season for me is our rookies are playing awesome.
No question.
You know?
Yeah.
But with that being said, and us going towards next season, I really think the Giants, if they could stay healthy, man, we'd be a deadly team, a force to be reckoned with. But now I know everybody's talking about coach changes. I personally don't think there's not going to be much of a coach change. I mean, I think the offense and everything look awesome. I think the defense is sputters. You know, maybe you can change here and there. I don't know about actually getting rid of Perry Fuel, you know, maybe bringing another helper, you know, somebody like, Spags. He had did some, consoling at one time, defense consoling or something like that, something like, you know, to that nature. But, John Beeson, my only worry is John Beeson, cause he's a great player, but would y'all think he was coming back or not?
I think he will be back. I don't know if he's under contract.
He is under contract.
But,
yeah.
You know, he had an injury where he tried to play through what it, you know, he couldn't push off on his big toe. I mean, when you talk about a linebacker trying to move around and you have no push off on your big toe, it's tough. And I think when you're a healthy John Beeson, you're a healthy defense. And Perry Fuel has said that time and time again, that losing John Beeson was bigger than you know, because John Beeson is the other defensive coordinator on the football field. He's a smart guy. He understands the defense. He gets guys lined up. And I think when you see big plays on that defense, especially in the run game, guys are out of position. They're mental errors. And when you have a guy like John Beeson lining guys up and getting in their face and getting them to do what they do, that's leadership. That's good. So if he does come back, I do think he will, to answer your question, I think that'll be a big boost for that Giant defense.
Okay, and one more thing.
Yeah.
If he wants maybe a little under what he's getting now, if you were the GM, would you take him?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Listen, and I'll tell you why. Number one, you know, he's a leader. Okay, he gives you everything he's got on Sunday. I can't ever remember a time seeing that Antoine Roe is loafing out there or he's giving up on plays, and he's healthy. He's in the lineup. He doesn't get hurt. I mean, knock on wood, but the guy gives you every Sunday he's there. And so, you know, he's getting up there in age, but you know, and he's certainly not a Pro Bowler this year, but he's a good player. And if I'm the Giants, I get him back for many reasons. The reasons I just told you, and the other thing is the leadership.
Appreciate the phone call, Keith. Thanks so much for weighing in. And
yep.
A number of items that the Giants will need to address in the offseason. Right now, though, they're focusing on finishing this campaign on a strong note as they look forward to the Redskins here at MetLife Stadium on Sunday. We are taking your phone calls. We're also looking into your tweets as we take you up till the top of the hour. Let's head back to the phone lines. And speaking of the guy who received the pat on the back earlier in the program, it is Charlie in Maine. Charlie, what's happening?
Hey, Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah.
Same to you, Charlie. I don't know if you heard earlier in the program, you got fans.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure you're aware. Okay.
Shout out to Will.
There we go.
I got this Christmas tree up and all the Hanukkah plants are all over the place.
And I hope the gift to Will is in the mail already, okay, for speaking very kindly of you on this program.
Because you didn't give him a gift to the Giants by picking them that they were going to be this bad. So, ball humbug to you.
Yeah.
I just saw what was going on back then, and, you know, free agency-wise, and that's why I picked 6-10. Right. But, hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout-out to you because I think you don't get enough credit for being probably the best placeholder in the NFL for the last 30 years.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you were nails in that, and that's not easy, getting high snaps. You always brought it down. You always brought it down so the kicker would have a really good chance
to kind of a thankless job, really, Charlie. It is. You know, you never get any kudos for it, but you always get, you know, lambasted when you drop one or it's a bad snap or something like that. But I will tell you this. I enjoyed doing it because it got me on the field, you know, four or five, six more plays in a game. And really, the evolution of holding – you know, back in the day, when I can say back in the day, because I played in the late 80s, the kickers, the punters were never holders. It was always the quarterback because they always thought they had the best hands and they can make something happen. But as special teams evolved and you got a legitimate snapper that was on the team, and then you could work together. So you could get a guy that didn't have to practice, you know, offense or defense being the snapper, and you got the punter that could hold and the kicker, you got a good operation. And so that's how it kind of matriculated into this, what it is today. It's those, you never see a quarterback holding anymore, and very rarely do you see anybody other than the holder is the punter.
Charlie, who do you think taught Odell Beckham everything he knew during the course of that 4-week period?
And nobody knows about that, and I don't get enough credit for that either.
There you go.
Hey,
I can only wish.
You know, trying to hold a snap, you know, that didn't
work. Well, thank you, Charlie. I appreciate it. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I just want to say there's two words. It's adopt and adapt. And I think you got to have players, and in actually in life, when you can adopt and adapt. And the players that can do that quicker and learn, that's the best players to have on your team. And if you want to go by astrology charts, Geminis are great doing that. That's what I am, a Gemini. I can adopt and adapt quickly.
Yes.
But if you're a Capricorn and some other signs, man, it's going to take you a long time because you're stuck in the rut.
They got to go one step further and figure out what the birth order of these guys that they're drafting now and what month that they're born in, right? I mean, so
Charlie,
you got to figure that in the equation a little bit.
You might have something on NBC Sports. You know, they have a guy that does officiating like Mike. Those guys, you could be the astrology guy.
Charlie's a Renaissance man. Yeah. He knows medicine. He knows astrology. He knows how to pick records. I mean, the guy's all over the place.
Unbelievable.
Many talents.
Yeah.
All right, Charlie.
I just want one more thing. I just wanted to say that I just think the coaching staff waited too long to make personnel changes, and if they had done it maybe like a little bit earlier when we're in a 3-game losing streak instead of a 7-game and changing things around and moving JPP around, I think we might have had a little better record. But the problem was the Giants were not very good because we kept shooting ourselves in the foot. We'd fumble the ball. We couldn't pick it up. So we kept making stupid mistakes. And, you know, the reason why we won last week is because we still made a couple of stupid mistakes, but not as many, and it didn't cost us the game. So, you know, I'm hoping, you know, I think we should beat the Redskins. But, man, did you see the St. Louis and Arizona game last night?
Defensive battle.
We're not looking for We're not looking a week ahead to St. Louis.
Well, you know, Charlie always looks ahead.
Because I don't want to see Eli in the hospital. So I hope they, you know, give him max protect about every snap because he's going to need it. Thanks for taking my call. And
have a good one, Charlie. Thank you.
Continue to study up on astrology. We appreciate it. Charlie in Maine weighing in from many different angles.
I will tell you this for, you know, the punting guy that I like to watch. Last night's game was a game to watch for punting.
It was.
There was 14 punts in that game, you know. So
your type of game.
it's my type of game, and I just, even though I don't play anymore, obviously, but when I see guys inside the dome, I just, it's so much fun to kick in there.
Comfortable.
Oh, man, it's comfortable.
Ideal conditions.
No wind. It's just great. You just, it's like going from, like, if you're a golfer, you can't go play golf today, but you know you can go out to Arizona, like, tomorrow and tee it up. Oh, it's just so much fun.
Well, sometimes it's too hot, as you've told me, in Arizona.
Not this time of the year, but yeah. Yeah, if you're out in Arizona in August, you better get done playing golf by 10 o'clock, or you're not going out there.
You're not
going
to have a late tee off.
And if you are going out there, you better have a bottle of sunblock with you and a big, huge hat.
A few bottles of water, too.
And even that, you drink the water there, and by the time you're done with golf, you still don't have to go to the bathroom. That's how hot and dehydrated you get. So.
Wow.
Charlie probably could have told us about
Absolutely.
That.
I mean, yeah. We didn't need to provide that insight. We'll just bring in Charlie
the
each
Renaissance
and every
man.
Segment. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. Len is in Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Well,
how are
Len?
You today?
How's everything
good,
with you?
Good, good. Well, hanging in there, trying to get excited about Sunday's game. I'll be there, of course. And,
good. It should be a nice day.
Rooting for them and hope they win. I think they'll win. Of course, I always think they're going to win, so don't bet the mortgage money on what I say. Because I think they're always going to win. Hey Jeff, just a couple of things. You look at the injury list, and it's easy to say, oh my gosh, 20 people on injured reserve. Wow, you know, it'd be nice if we had them. Well, you know, every team says that.
I know.
And you know, I don't. I'll be honest with you. I don't pay too much attention to injuries. You could probably convince me about Victor, but really. Give me one guy.
Well, what about Prince?
What? How about one of the 20? One of the 20 who's on injured reserve.
Well, Victor Cruz.
Who would make a difference?
Victor Cruz is the number one guy.
Well, what about Prince Amukamara?
Okay.
And I think Prince is another big one.
You know, we're stretching it, guys. You know, the bottom line is we.
Well, you just asked us to give it.
The difference maker is the quarterback.
Well, there's no question. Look at the team we're playing.
Look, I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk gambling. But the only thing that moves the line is when the quarterback's out.
Interesting.
Not anybody else.
You mean the punter never moved the line?
I doubt it. I doubt it. Sorry, Jeff. I doubt it. But you can't make coaching decisions based on injuries. I mean, come on. I mean,
It's difficult.
It happens all over.
I think it really goes when you talk about injuries, you talk about depth. Those two go hand in hand. And if you have a team with a lot of depth and you get injuries, you're okay. If you have a team with not a lot of depth and you get injuries, then you get in trouble because what happens is your bottom of your roster now moves up into playing positions. And they're not ready to play. Those bottom of the roster guys are young guys. They're special teams guys. They're not starters in this league. So you, whether it's the Giants, the Falcons, whoever you're talking about, if you have a good depth on your team and you can sustain injuries, then you're going to be okay.
Len, I also think you're overlooking, piggybacking off of what Jeff just said, the amount of reps that these players get during the course of practice. Now, the starters are going to get the majority of the reps, so the backups are going to have very limited opportunities, and that impacts preparation week in and week out. So, you know, you affect the continuity of the team as you lose these starters.
So, some of the guys who were on injured reserve were Pro Bowl candidates?
Well, impactful.
They
were impactful players,
Bowl,
though. Len, you're going to tell me they weren't impactful players, though? I mean, Pro Bowl, this and that. I mean, and that's really in the eye of the beholder, and there's a lot of voting involved in that.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Just based on the eye test. Based on the eye test.
I need it. Well,
you're going to tell me these guys were not impactful players?
You know, we're starting to move toward people who are really going to make a difference. Eli, Beckham. I'm keeping my fingers crossed on Kennard, the linebacker. You know, I want JPP back. I mean, you don't find many three-down defensive ends who can play the run like he plays it. Not many people play it better than he does. You know, you get guys like that, three, four guys. Those are the guys who are going to make a difference. Listen, it's a division game. It's a home game. I got to tell you, those last two losses at home, San Francisco and Dallas, from a fan standpoint, devastating.
Mm-hmm.
Walking out of that stadium after those two losses, devastating. Your best customers need a win on Sunday.
No question.
Somebody tell these guys in the locker room that I said that.
Okay.
We need a win at home. All right, let's go, Giants. Let's win this game.
All right,
got
nice
it.
Talking to you guys.
Appreciate
nice
the call. Thanks so much.
Have fun Sunday.
And, Jeff, you've pointed this out time and time again. Those two games that Len just alluded to, you know, you protect the ball bounces your way. We're probably talking about different outcomes.
You're talking about different outcomes. You're also talking about a whole different mindset from the perspective of the players. But, you know, they're saying that, you know, you're going into this game this week, maybe an outside chance of a playoff. You're also talking about the confidence level. You've beat a team like the Cowboys at home. You beat a team like the 49ers, who were at that point in time were a pretty good football team. I don't know where they're going these days, but it just changes the whole. Like we keep using the word continuity, but it's a big word, and it's I think it's very apropos for what we're talking about right now. And I have been on teams where you get on rolls and you win 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games in a row. There's nothing that can stop you, and even if you have injuries, the guy and the next guy up plays just as good. But what comes from that winning streak is confidence. What comes from a losing streak is no confidence. And that's what you see in teams that continue to lose. They lose games, and you hear guys saying, you know, you have to have this winning attitude and this winning culture. Well, that's what the culture is. It's contagious. And it also can be contagious when you're losing mentally, and it's tough to get out of that rut. And when you do win one game and you go on, look at the way the Giants played on that 3-game winning streak they had. Okay, they went through and they just boom, boom, boom. They played good games. They were getting turnovers. Eli wasn't throwing interceptions, and you know, and then all of a sudden it ends, and they go on this 7-game losing streak, and it's like, oh my God, we can't win a game. And finally they win one, and now this could you know, propel them into the next 3 weeks and go out on a winning streak. I can tell you this. This game and the last game of the season, division games, go out winning those two games. I'm not saying don't win the game against the Rams, but these are division games, two out of the next 3 weeks, and not to mention the last game of the season. What the Eagles are playing for, they're playing Dallas on Sunday, which is a huge game. And if they win that game or lose that game, for the Giants to go and beat them on the last game of the season would probably get a little bit of taste in them in the Giants' mouth, a good taste, because to knock those guys out, maybe it knocks them out of the playoffs. Who knows?
No better opportunity than to play a little bit of a spoiler.
No question. After what they did to the Giants the first game. Because really, when you think about the Detroit Lions game and the Philadelphia game, those two games – there was no chance that the Giants were winning those two games.
And speaking of that, that's why you have to be careful even for this game, because I'm sure the Redskins are not pleased with how they got beat up the first time around.
They're still a division opponent, and look what happens in the division. But by the way, I think the Redskins beat the Cowboys in Dallas this year.
They did.
With that great offensive line and that running game that they have for Dallas, they still beat them with Colt McCoy. So division games are different, fellas. They're totally different. They know each other, and the guys come to compete, and they play.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Rocky is in Panama City. Rocky, what's happening?
What's up, Rocky?
How y'all fellas doing?
Doing good. Rocky. What's on your mind?
I was wondering, Lance, did they got you your own chair, or did I just throw some books down there for you? Look the same size as everybody.
No, he's all right. This is a good chair.
There's no assistance here. I mean, I thank you for observing from afar, but I'm holding my own here. The chair is straight on the floor. I've got no padding, no cushion.
Okay.
I'm trying to stay in level with Jeff. You know, yep. I mean,
I'm
us small people.
I'm hunched down
some
a little
issues,
bit.
But, you know, I'm thankfully I'm surviving.
That's okay. Yes. We all have our own challenges.
What else you got for us, Rocky?
I just got a couple points about the defense. I pretty much think Perry's going to get canned at the end of the season. The owners have got to do something to show the fan base they're trying to change things. But what do y'all think about maybe trying to see if Todd Bowles would come in from Arizona?
I think Todd Bowles is going to probably be up for a head coaching job before he's going to move as a defensive coordinator somewhere else, which I don't think you can do that anyways, because in National Football League, a lateral move is no good. You have to either go up or, you know, you get fired. Unless he gets fired, he's not getting fired at Arizona. And I think that he's probably going to be in a conversation for probably one of these head coaching jobs.
Okay, well, I know Spag, some people talk about Spag coming back, but I think he's labeled as the assistant head coach there in Baltimore, so I didn't think he was going to like take a demotion and come to see.
And I think that's kind of how they get around some of this stuff, for being the assistant head coach is, you know, is definitely higher than a coordinator position. So And, you know, a few years ago, they reevaluated how these, because guys were doing that. They were leaving from one job to the other, and they had to all of a sudden start to reclassify their positions as coordinators and head coaching, assistant head coaches for guys to move around. And now it's more difficult for them to make a lateral move in the coaching position. So, but I think that's why Spagnuolo is his assistant head coach, because he wants to probably either be a head coach or move in a coordinator position next year.
And there's a lot of coaches on staffs that play multiple roles and wear multiple hats. So,
of course.
You know, titles somehow can be moved around time and time again.
Yep.
What else you got, Rocky?
Okay. Well, let me say one more thing about the coaches. I'm a Nebraska Cornhusker fan, too, and I was thinking, well, maybe we might end up with Bo Pelini, but who knows. But
boy, you really have been doing some homework here. Jeez. I'm sorry. What else was that, Rocky? What else?
About Kennard. I know he played a little bit of defensive end there at USC. Is there any chance with Kiwi and Ayers out that he might, JPP might shift inside and let Kennard rush from that right defensive end spot like in nickel sub defenses?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, Ayers will be back next year. He's on a 2-year deal, so he'll be back. And I think they just keep going as long as we can get JPP to come back. And they can put Kennard in some different positions. I mean, look what they've done with him the last couple of weeks, that outside linebacker position. They're blitzing him like crazy. And you could just tell that he's got that. If you watch him rush the passer, you could tell that he's had his hand in the dirt before. He's just got those moves that he does, and I think that's a great asset for him. He's a big guy, and he moves good, but he can still play linebacker and occasionally get out there on that outside and rush the passer.
And appreciate the phone call, Rocky. Thanks so much.
Have a good one, Rocky. Be careful.
I think for this season, they're pretty content with Kennard sticking at linebacker just because he's flourished all of a sudden out of that position.
And because I think that's what they want him to play. I think they drafted him because they needed a player like him at that linebacking position. And you look at, you know, the depth of that position as a whole over the last couple years has just been, you know, it's been crazy. You've got guys moving in and out. And, you know, McLean has come in here and done a nice job in absence of Beeson. And, you know, and I think that Jaquan Williams did step up until he got hurt. And so, you know, a guy like Kennard is a total upside. And because he plays different positions, I think it gives the Giants a great upside on that defensive line and the linebacker position.
And I think what also helped him, Jeff, in college, he did play multiple positions, but he also worked with multiple defensive coordinators.
I think it was just from one maybe four out of every in 5 years.
There was a
different
lot
defenses.
Of turnover on that staff.
The smart kid. Mark Kidd, obviously, you know, the NFL is not easy. And I think that Parafuel has that's one thing that they have noticed about him is that he is smart and he does study. But more importantly, what you do in the classroom onto the practice field and then to game day, if there's kind of a progression. And if you can take from the classroom to the practice to the game field and do it well, you're going to get on the field. And that's why we're not seeing guys like DeMontre Moore and Corey Washington and some of these other younger guys, because they're not making that full transition from the meeting room to practice to the game field yet.
A couple of callers on the line want to try to squeeze him in before we wrap things up. Frank is in Tampa. Frank, what's happening?
Is that Frank there?
I don't know about that. What's happening, Frank?
How you doing?
Good.
Well.
Jeff, hey. You know, I talked to you the other day, Jeff, and I just wanted to tell you to get a chance to. But I've been a Giant fan a long, long time. And when I, in my mind, I enter a player into my sort of always a Giant category, it's a big deal to me. And you're in that category.
Wow. Awesome.
You're a great Giant. And I'm very happy you could stay with the organization.
Oh, me too.
Because
me too.
You're just a credit to the organization, and I love watching you play. And you're a tough guy for a punter as well, tough guy in general, and loved watching you play. So God bless.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Frank, we appreciate the compliments, but I'm just worried that Charlie's rubbing off on you a little too much because, you know, he was the first one to pat Jeff on the back a few times.
Keep him coming.
You know,
keep the calls coming. Keep them coming in.
I just want to be cautious.
Hey, it's the giving season, right? There we go.
Jeff, I want to ask you a quick question. You said about the holders. Does Romo still hold?
No. No. Their quarterback, or excuse me, their punter holds.
Okay. I remember his big drop back there how many years ago.
Well, that was – let me tell you something about that drop that many people don't understand, what that did for the punters and the kickers world, okay? That game, because Romo dropped that ball – started this whole thing about the kicking balls, right? And because that they said that ball was slick, it came from the sidelines, and it was like, you know, it was one that had not been in the game all day, and it was cold, and it was slick, and that's why he dropped it. The leagues went to a rule the next year saying that we had to kick these balls, and they were only the balls that the kickers could use on kicking plays because of that stupid rule. And we paid for it because they put these brand new stinking footballs in the game. And I don't know if you've ever been to Sports Authority or Dick's, and you go into the football aisle and you see these footballs sitting there. That's what we were kicking. It was ridiculous. And thanks, Tony Romo, and get out of the holder's world forever.
I didn't know that. That's an interesting little tidbit here in terms of the NFL. Yeah.
Well, real quick, guys, I know you're up against time. I got to go back to what I said the other day is, you know, I'm just concerned about the talent evaluation in general with the team though over these last, you know, 7-8 years. And here's why. I mean, you know, like you said before, Lance, you know, the eye of the beholder, you know, Pro Bowl or all pro, but, you know, I don't like what I've been beholding over these last bunch of years. And let me just put it this way, and that's that, you know, you look at our team, okay? You know, when – forget about all pro even, you know, Pro Bowl, but when is the last time we had a perennial player who was even a top five at his position? Heck, even top 10. I got to go back to Strahan.
Yeah.
He's been gone for 7 years.
He's all
I mean,
favorite.
All the draft picks, all the free agents. I'm even putting into this category guys that left and are playing other places. I mean, there's nobody. Think about how many guys have come through that door in the past 7 years.
Well, I'm quickly trying to see that. I guess the one guy that comes to mind would be Eli. I think that, you know, and really when you think about it from a Giants fan's perspective, been pretty lucky about Eli Manning. You know, you look at these other teams. For instance,
yeah.
You know.
But what made me think of this is when, you know, when Len brought up, you know, the guy's getting hurt. And I'm thinking, yeah, oh, geez, you know, okay. Yeah, but, you know, who is it when you look at this team that you say, man, you know, you can't lose that guy. I mean, when you can't get a perennial top 5 or 10 player, one guy on your team, something's wrong. By sheer luck, that's got to happen every now and again.
You know, one guy that I just thought of and probably you may or may not agree with me, but I think he didn't get a lot of kudos and a lot of recognition. But when you look at a guy like Chris Snee for 10 years with the Giants, I think he was one of those guys. I know he's never going to make the Hall of Fame. I think he went to 3 or 4 Pro Bowls. But, you know, you look at what he did in his body of work for 10 years with the Giants, that's pretty close to what we're talking about, would you think?
Yeah, he's close, right. But,
yeah.
but
not what
close.
You're like a straight
you know,
hand.
I mean, when you
guy,
don't
yeah.
even – when you don't – if you're a Giant fan, forget about looking at the All-Pro list when it comes out. When you don't even look at the Pro Bowl list – something's wrong. I mean, you just know
well,
there's not going to be anybody there.
Well, but remember, Frank, that gets back to the voting. There's a lot of subjectivity involved in this, and I'm not trying to defend
players
here or there.
Yeah, but it's not like I'm sitting around. Right, but it's not like I'm sitting. I can make an argument that it's wrong. That's the worst part.
Well, but here's the thing. Do you know, if you look at some of the teams that have won Super Bowls recently, I mean, is there a true blueprint in how to go about doing that? I mean, do you need a top five player in the league at every position? Look at the Seahawks. They had a young team and they won the Super Bowl. A lot of those guys have not necessarily reached their pinnacle. So I don't know, Frank, to answer your question, if there's one rule of thumb when it comes to the NFL saying, hey, at this position we need a top five guy. At this position, you could have rookies thrive in those spots, and you go on to win Super Bowls. And we've seen it even with the
Giants.
No,
but I only want one. I'm not wanting one at every position.
And the other
I just
thing
want
is,
one
I think
on the team.
When you're looking at guys that are like staples of your team, before, you know, guys stuck around so many years, and now it's like, you know, you draft a guy, he's on a 5-year free, you know, rookie contract, and all of a sudden he comes into his own in his second, third, fourth year. He's usually gone again, and now you got to start trying to find that guy.
But, Jeff, who's left our team that's gone on to be a top five player?
Well, I'm not going to argue with
that.
You there. Yeah.
All right, Frank.
Guys,
appreciate
have a
the
great
phone
Christmas
call. You got it. Thanks so much.
Bless.
And you have a happy holiday season as well. Let's try to squeeze in one more caller here before we have to wrap up the show. Rick is in Connecticut. Rick, welcome to the program. What you got?
Hi, Rick.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Well, Rick.
I just want to say, Lance, as a short Italian guy as well, don't worry about it. I feel your pain.
No worries.
You have a full
Trust
head of hair.
Me. I'm not worrying about it, Rick. I've embraced my
There's
small
more people
stature.
To bring it up than Lance is worried about it.
Exactly.
So don't even worry about it.
You're right.
All right.
I'll settle for
real
the
quick,
hair.
Expounding off one of the last things Frank said, you know, what is your upside for our top four rookie performers right now for the rest of their careers, as in Odell, Richburg, Kennard, and Mr. Williams.
What is their upside? Meaning,
yeah, what are you thinking in terms of, you know, all pro, Pro Bowls? Like, what can we, you know, I'm trying to be positive here, yeah. You know.
Well, listen, I think first of all, it's very difficult to make all pro at the positions that we just mentioned. Wide receiver, you know, a young guy like Odell Beckham, you know, it's going to take a couple years. You look at the guys in the league that are above him. Linebacking position and linemen. These guys, once they make the Pro Bowl, somebody's got to unseat them because they make it every single year. And it's a stupid thing, but it's just the way that it works. But yep. I think that if I was to look at the guys that we just mentioned, I think Odell Beckham, in my mind, probably has the best chance because I think him. I see him as being in a league where we are today with how much offense is here and playmaking ability that he has. He has a tremendous upside Pro Bowl side. I wouldn't doubt if he's in the Pro Bowl next year because of his recognition, what he's been doing only in however many games he's played this year.
And, Rick, to add to what Jeff just said, you know, sometimes I think we're a little too close-minded in terms of is this guy going to be a Pro Bowler. As I mentioned when we were talking to Frank, you know, that really comes down to voting and how the coaching staffs and so far view
popularity
these people.
Contest.
Correct. I think the way you have to look at it is, are these guys going to be impactful players? And that's what we're starting to see glimpses of. And, Jeff, I'm assuming you'd agree in terms of you could throw these guys out on the field and they can change games, they can come up with big plays. And each one of those three players, Williams, Beckham, and Kennard, you could point to a game or two this season, Rick, where, you know, they've made a play. Last week it was Kennard with the forced fumble. Beckham clearly has multiple games. And Andre Williams had a huge performance on the ground. If you get enough of that, you know, that means you've made the right decisions.
I agree. And we look
at
Andre Williams.
That's what I'm looking forward to, boys.
Yeah,
all right, Rick.
Got it. Thank you,
buddy. Take the phone call. Thanks so much.
Have a good weekend.
And we've had a few questions on Twitter just to wrap up the program. Somebody was asking, is this the best draft class? And you need to look at a draft class 4 or 5 years down the road. You need to see these guys develop. But
as far as impactful,
immediate impact, I mean, this class really you got to put up there, Jeff.
Well, I think it's more so that when you look at what Odell Beckham did, missing the first 5 games of the season. I mean, coming through and doing what he's doing. And then finally, Kennard, you look at him and how he had an injury and was able to come back and then doing the things that he does. And then you also look at a guy like Andre Williams, who is his, you know, he tried to fill in for Jennings when he was out, but, you know, didn't do a great job, but it's learning. He got reps. And then you got Richburg, who got thrown in there to starter as a rookie, and I don't think that they were really thinking that he was going to be a starter this year, but he got reps. So I think collectively this group of rookies has got a lot of playing time, and I think that it can only be better for them moving into next year. I think they got a lot more playing time than they thought they were going to get. Aside from Odell Beckham, I think he was the one guy, the number one draft pick, you know he's going to play a lot.
And that's what you want. You want to get experience in year number one. Another guy that I throw out, which sort of falls under the radar, how about Nat Burhe?
Oh, sure.
He's actually got plenty of reps on special teams, Jeff, and I understand that he hasn't necessarily made this wow me play, but he also has gained some valuable experience.
And I think that they like him as that position. I agree with you there, too. And, you know, I know he's not a young guy. I know he's a second-year player, but I'm trying to jump and we can keep going down the roster. But I think the development of Larry Donnell is important to this team, too. I think if he can just be a better blocker and hang on to that football, I think you saw a lot of promise in him this year that maybe a lot of people didn't think you would see.
Donnell is essentially a rookie, given his lack of experience.
When you think about it, absolutely. And look at all the playing time he got this year. And talk about a game that was his coming out party against that team right there. And hopefully he has another one of those Sunday.
And I sent this out on Twitter, and the fact that you brought up Donnell, it certainly holds true to this conversation. If you look at Donnell compared to all the other rookie tight ends, and a lot of people wanted the Giants to take a tight end like an Eric Ebron, he has outplayed all of them just from a statistical standpoint. Forget the eye test.
Right.
From statistics alone, he has more receptions, more receiving yards, more touchdowns. The next closest guy is Jason Morrow of the Jets.
Well, and I think that, you know, you look at him as a second-year player opposed to those guys being rookies, but this really is his first year playing. He's done a great job, and I'm, as far as I'm concerned, the years that Eli has been playing in the Giants uniform, when the Giants have always had a good quality tight end, going back to Shockey, and then you got Boss, and now Donnell, whom else am I thinking of?
Well,
Ballard.
big targets, it helps Eli. It helps him a lot.
Nice security blanket. Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now. Enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com. Jeff, always a blast working with you as usual.
You got it there, Lance. Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate all the phone calls, all the tweets. Sunday, Giants-Redskins here at MetLife Stadium. Kickoff is 1 p.m. Eastern. Our pregame radio coverage on WFAN as well as right here on Giants.com gets underway at 11:30 a.m. We'll speak to all of you next week. Enjoy the game. Have a good one.
Well, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Down the middle of the field, he's got Cruz! 35-30!
Well, getting on punt! Rosen intercepted!
Touchdown, Giants!